Invite all the grown-ups to be seated and children of any age to come on forward. One of my very earliest memories was from Christmas morning when I was 4 years old. I may have been five. I can't quite remember, but I was either four or five. And I woke up in the morning, my eyes opened up, and my brother and my two sisters were all looking over my bed. And they said, "Carol, come downstairs. You got your sew magic. You got your sew magic." And you may not know what a sew magic is. That was the toy that I wanted so much that year. It's like this little plastic sewing machine that used glue instead of needles and thread. It didn't work very well, but boy, I wanted one. And I got one. And my siblings were so excited to tell me the good news that I had gotten this gift that I had wanted. They were more excited about that than they were about their own presents that year. I think about how fun it is sometimes to share good news. Maybe you've had a chance to do that. Maybe you got to tell someone in your class, "Hey, the teacher brought cupcakes today." Or maybe you got to tell someone in your family, "Hey, I'm gonna have a baby brother. Hey, we're getting a dog." Sometimes it's fun to be the one to share good news. Well, in our Bible lesson for today, God is excited to share good news, and God wants us to share good news with other people. Thank you. God wants us to share the good news that everybody is important to God and that everybody is loved by God. And that's really what Christmas is all about, that God loves us so much that God came to be one of us in Jesus. So maybe this week you can be the one to share that good news with somebody who needs to know that they're loved. Let's pray together. Dear God, we know and believe that you love everybody so much. We thank you that you have given us the chance to share that good news. So help us to find somebody this week who may be sad or lonely, in need of a hug, and let us be good news and share your love with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back and join your parents or grandparents or friends. I know for a lot of our children, this is such an exciting and fun time of year. But for those who are teenagers and college students, I think we're right in the middle of exams. I know I have one in my household who better be spending a lot of time this afternoon studying for his exams. So if you are one of those who's preparing either to take an exam or to grade a bunch of exams, I apologize because I want to talk just a minute about ancient history. I want to talk a little bit about the Persian Empire. I don't know how much you know about the Persian Empire, but I remember studying the Persian Empire in ancient history class, and I thought it was just fascinating. The Persian Empire was, up until its time, the greatest empire the Western world had ever seen. It went all the way from Egypt to India. They were the first empire to have an organized bureaucracy and to require a shared language. All sorts of great stuff to learn about that powerful empire. Cyrus the Great, who was the emperor, and all of the buildings and the archaeology. So if you want to know more about the Persian Empire, you can take a class in ancient history, you can read textbooks, you can even go to Wikipedia, you can find all sorts of sources. But there's one book that's not going to tell you much about the Persian Empire, and that's the Bible. Even though much of what happens in the Bible took place during that era of the Persian Empire, the people who wrote down our scriptures were not interested in empire. It was during those days when Cyrus the Great came into power and the Persians conquered the Babylonians that Cyrus the Great decided to send home the Jewish captives whom the Babylonians had taken into exile. But what the scriptures tell us is the story of those captives. The scriptures are more interested in telling us about this little band of people with whom God created a special covenant, a people that were, for most of their history, the oppressed minority. They had been slaves in Egypt, and for a little while they had their own king and their own nation, but it wasn't long before they were conquered by the Assyrians and conquered by the Babylonians and then conquered again by the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. But God's story is not one of empire. God seems more interested in the story of the oppressed, the invisible, the forgotten ones. For in those days of Cyrus the Great, God called forth a prophet who said, "The Spirit of the Lord God, the sovereign God, is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." To bring good news to the oppressed, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and liberation for all of those who have been in bondage, to proclaim healing for the brokenhearted. The prophet announces where God's attention has been among those who have been oppressed and forgotten and lost in the midst of that great empire. Fast forward 500 years. Now we're in the Roman Empire. And boy, there's a lot to say and a lot to learn about that grand empire. And sitting on the throne of that empire is the great Caesar Augustus. And right under his nose, in a little faraway land of Judea, there is a baby born to a peasant girl and her faithful betrothed, finding themselves as refugees in a city that is not their home, having to go there because the great Caesar Augustus has deemed it so. And yet the God of the universe chooses in that moment of history to reveal God's self, not in Rome, not in the palaces of the powerful empire, but in the countryside among a poor peasant people. And the first people who get to hear that good news proclaimed by all of the angels are shepherds who really have nobody to tell. And even those they told wouldn't believe them because shepherds' testimony weren't even allowed in courts. Fast forward a few more years. That child has grown up and become a man. And he walks through the doors of the synagogue of Nazareth, his hometown, to preach his first sermon, to launch his ministry as the Son of God. And he opens up the scroll to the book of Isaiah and reads these words: "The Spirit of the sovereign Lord God is upon me, for God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to announce release to the captives and liberation to the oppressed." And he went about the countryside of Galilee, way far away from the throne of Rome, and he welcomed the tax collectors and the prostitutes, and he touched the lepers and healed them, and he sought the least and the last and the lost and proclaimed that among them was the kingdom of God. Fast forward 2,000 years, and here we are, the followers of Christ, the bearers of the good news of Christ who is coming to be born once again in our hearts and in our world. And where is our attention during this season? I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to get caught up in the empire, in the power plays of our world, and want to be near the important people and the wealthy and those who are noticeable in our world. But the voice of the prophet rings true and calls us to remember that God is a God who loves justice And God is present and reaching out to give good news to the poor and the invisible and the oppressed who are right under our noses. Do we see them? Do I see them? A few years ago, I had my eyes opened in a way they had never been opened before, to see some of the lost and the poor and the oppressed right here in our community. I was with a group of pastors, and we had an opportunity to meet a woman named Clemmie Greenlee. I don't know how many of you know Clemmie or have heard her story. She grew up in Nashville, just like I did. She's a few years older than I am, but on that Christmas morning when I was getting my sew magic, she was having a very different childhood. At the age of 8, she began being abused by the men in her neighborhood and in her family. And at the age of 12, she was taken from her neighborhood and forced into prostitution. She was a victim of human trafficking right here in this neighborhood. And she spent 30 years being taken all over the country. Everywhere there was a Super Bowl or a big football game or wherever it might be, she was forced to work. At a certain age, she had aged out of that work, and so the men who had forced her into it abandoned her. One of the ways they had kept her enslaved was by giving her drugs and getting her addicted. So she had no hope, no place to go. She couldn't find any healing. But she had one friend who had been in the same situation alongside of her and had been liberated from that. This friend had discovered the ministry of the Magdalene House. Some of you are familiar with the great ministry that the Magdalene House does. Out in Reed Hall, the Thistle Farms is an outgrowth of that ministry, and they're selling some of their products that they make as part of that ministry. This friend of hers went once a week to find Clemmie wherever she was on the streets, and she'd put a card in her hand with the phone number to Magdalene House. And Clemmie says it was when she got about 99 of those cards that she felt the Spirit of God with her saying, "Make this phone call." And she did. And she was discovered and found and embraced by that community and given a new life and new hope. And now she goes out and shares her story and is working hard every day to liberate others who are oppressed by this system. And the thing that got to me most as I was listening to her story was when she said, "You know, this was my life for 30 years and nobody saw me. Nobody came looking for me. I dropped out of school and none of the school officials cared or looked for me to find where I was. None of my family came looking for me. The people in the church didn't come looking for me." And I was so convicted by that because I was growing up in this same city and I didn't know and I didn't see. But now I know. And now I've seen. And the question I hear from the prophet speaking the word of the Lord this morning is, how are we going to be bearers of this good news for the poor and the oppressed and the brokenhearted in our midst? Maybe when we go through the line at Walmart, we don't need to be so concerned about whether the cashier says Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. That's really an empire question. Maybe the question we need to wonder about is, what is this man's name? What's his story? Is he being paid a living wage? Do his kids have a school they can go to where they're getting a good education and are safe? Does he have access to doctors and health care? Maybe our challenge, our invitation from the prophet is to see the people around us, and to wonder and to pray about, "God, what can I do to be good news to my neighbors?"